Hello, and welcome to this teaching from Paul Harmon, pastor of Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach, California. We pray that God uses these messages to draw people into his love, and we're thankful to hear when that happens. If this message shines Jesus' love into your life, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org, and if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. Again, thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel today.
Now when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came from the sky a sound like the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Tongues like fire appeared and were distributed to them, and one sat on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under the sky. When this sound was heard, the multitude came together and were bewildered, because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. They were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke out to them, "You men of Judea, and all you who dwell at Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. For these aren't drunken as you suppose, seeing it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what has been spoken through the prophet Joel. 'It will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Yes, and on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.'"
Well, friends, good morning. This is the time we want to have you reach for your Bibles. We're going to get into the message this morning. Ainsley and I just returned along with Pastor Noah Lani and Pastor Jared from El Salvador. We were participants of well over 3,000 delegates in Washington, D.C., our Four Square Convention. It was an outstanding convention for us personally, and I know for our movement as well, right there in Washington, D.C. Just to kind of highlight it a little bit, on Thursday, Ainsley and I hiked 13 miles, did we not, to see some of those exquisite landmarks and buildings there of our nation's capital. On the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, the Catholic Church is celebrating the Jubilee, the 50 years of the Catholic Charismatic Movement. And our president of our movement, Dr. Glenn Burris, many of you were familiar with him because he was here on November to help us celebrate our church's 85th. Well, Dr. Burris flew to Rome, and if you follow him on Twitter or follow him on Facebook, you saw a photo of him shaking hands with the Pope by reason of invitation to Pentecostal leaders and charismatics to come and pray in another outpouring of the Spirit on the Catholic Church. Isn't that fantastic? So I don't know where you were in 1967. Some of you are just still little stars in heaven, so we're grateful for that too. But I do remember I was 13 years of age, and because of what God has done in my brother's life, I remember it was a ride-on Catholic priest that led my brother Bob, who, by the way, is pastoring the San Dimas Four Square Church, praise the Lord, but led my brother to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Now, that was revolutionary because we were all raised Catholics, and to not really know how simple it was to have faith in the Lord. But Brother Bob said, "Paul, you need to go with me to this little Catholic church in Irwindale, California, because I hear these nuns are speaking in tongues. So we went. Now, 13-year-old's like, well, whatever, I've never heard of that before, but if you say it's what nuns are doing, so we could not even get into that church because the outflow of human bodies just did not even let us get into the steps there, what God was doing. Phenomenal, phenomenal. So it was a great season of life. I'm grateful for my upbringing, but especially for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. So we mark that occasion, today being that 50 days after really what we call the resurrection of Christ. And Jesus told his disciples, hey, I'm going away, and it's really to your advantage that I'm going away. And they did not like that at all, did they? Not a bit. Matter of fact, in his little time spent in the upper room, so much of John's gospel, especially 14th chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, there's Jesus telling them, I'm going. And that's where in chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he was telling them the reason why it's to their advantage, because they were just shocked. How could the one who opens the eyes of the blind, how could the one who multiplies the fish and the loaves, how could it be to our advantage he's going away? But he says, if I don't go away, the helper will not come. I'm going to send another one just like me. Not me, but another one. And that's when the Holy Spirit came to earth on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. And the church age was birthed. It was not always in existence historically on the day of Pentecost. So we're really celebrating our birth, are we not? And it's in keeping with our little mini-series, because as you look at the back of your bulletins now, you're going to see what our mini-series is all about, church, but we're calling that Church Hope Chapel, where lives are changed. And today's message is entitled Across the Street and Around the World. We're looking at something that's called evangelism. I know that's a church word, but boy, the church was all about getting the saved ones now to become sent ones. And we've been enjoying some great discoveries in Acts chapter 2. We've been camped there for quite a while, and we're going to now go to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. That is the verse that we're going to take apart a little bit. But we're looking at that aspect, how that the church, once again, as we've been discovering, they were a learning church, they were a loving church, they were a giving church, and now they just had a message, and they just had to get out and share that with others. So let's take a look now, just before we proceed. As you know, it's our custom. Lord, we pray once again. We want to get something out of this message, and I know you're going to do that for us. Lord, speak, direct, help, and not just for us only, O Lord, but that you would quicken us to be able to say, I need to tell someone else the profound love of God for humanity. Use us all right now, even as we proceed in your word, in Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting to know, we can't talk about evangelism without ever really coming up with the man named Dr. Billy Graham. Dr. Billy Graham has spoke to more people about the love of God and the gospel than any other person. And Billy Graham talks about a story when he was a much younger man, how he started off in the Midwest there and came into this little town in preparation for the crusade that night. And he was looking for a post office, and he came across this little boy, and he said, young man, can I ask you a question? Yes, sir. Where's the post office in this town? And he said, well, you just go around the corner there, and you'll find it. It's very easy to find right there. So Billy Graham said, thank you. And by the way, young man, I'm doing a moment of speaking tonight. If you wouldn't mind coming, I'm telling everybody how to go to heaven. And so the young man said, well, I'm not going to go. And he said, well, why not? He said, well, you don't even know where the post office is. So when we take a look at, isn't it wonderful that, man, God's done something in our heart, and you know the way. Isn't it important that we tell that message to others? There are people literally lined up around our globe that are literally, we could say, waiting to actually go to hell unless that message gets to them. They need to know that Jesus Christ has done something for them. It's the most important message. The story about John Currier, he was sentenced to life in prison and working on farms in Nashville, Tennessee. Ains and I spent some time there last week. And in his work of 20 years on the farm, his sentencing was finally terminated. He was a free man, but he never got the message until another 10 years later. He continued to work in the farm for another 10 years. He finally was set free, finally given that note. Can you imagine not receiving the most important message that would set you free? That's what happened to this man. When we look here, we're seeing how that the church has been entrusted with a message, the importance of that, how that worshipers become witnesses. It's great to be together. Man, we have such a good time. God does many wonderful things to us and for us personally, but to be able to tell that to others, so significant. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2. Peter is just concluding his message. There is a response that's happening. Let's go to verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let's take a look at verse 47. Some things we want to take a look that's so necessary, because these called out ones being sent, if you notice just for a few moments here, that it says in verse 33 of chapter 4, just go for a moment here, check it out with me. In verse 33 of chapter 4, then with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Check that out. And great grace was upon them all. Let's add one more. Let's go to chapter 5. Can you write those notes down so you get to your life groups with it? Acts 5:42, where it says this, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. I mean, there's a message that's going on. In the temple, remember we talked about the large gathering? Then they brought it down to the more personal setting in the house. Let's go one more. How about chapter 8? Chapter 8, persecution hits the church and people are scattering. But in Acts chapter 8, look at verse 4, where we see so clearly here. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So when we see the early church, they just didn't gather for social settings. There was a message that they wanted to deliver. And you can see here how God was multiplying. So when we look here, I'm just reminded how that D.L. Moody once said in his day, how the church reminded him of firemen inside a burning house. But those firemen were straightening up the pictures on the wall, not really paying attention to the home on fire. We have a world, we can literally say is on fire. And we could spend our time just straightening up lives in homes and never give the message. Never give the message. People need to hear that message. And there's some things I want to just draw your attention on. Looking at Acts chapter 2, verse 47 once again. Let's see, point number one, it's a divine work getting that message out. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. It's a divine work. The Lord added. There could be, as we look here, there's an outside force somewhere. that's working through your witness, how you're living, what you're doing, it is not you, it's the Lord who added to the church daily. Now that's important. It's important for us to recognize it's a divine work. The evangelism is God's work. Getting the message out about God's love through the cross, that's God's work. It's, we could say, a family business. We're all in the family of God. Are you? Yeah. I was in a family business. Our parents, my mother and father, owned what was called Quality House Envelope and Printing Specialties in Pasadena. We were right there at Walnut and Fair Oaks, across from Ralph M. Parsons. The building's still there. And our responsibility was giving large supplies of mailing envelopes, stationaries, to some big industry and businesses. And it was a wonderful thing. What was happening there, it was a family business. And how the sorrow was when my parents knew that I did not want the business. I felt called to get a message out. I remember working with my parents for 8 years, and then another 2, a total of 10, really seeing that there was a need for people to get the message into their awareness how much God loves them. We're in a family business still. So that family business, God adds to the church. Check it out in verse 41. Let's slide on up there just a little bit. It says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. The Lord added to the church daily. 3,000 souls. 120 were in the upper room waiting for the promise, right? 3,000 souls. Now you have 3,120. Whoa! Hello, man. And it kept going in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. So who's that agent? Who's doing the work? God. Now I get great comfort in that. Man, the Lord is doing it. So we could literally say, as the scripture says, God chose you to be saved. Ephesians 1:4 says that. But you have to choose God. God chose you. I want you. He loves the whole world, but you have to make that choice. You have to choose to receive Christ as your Savior and Lord. Let me just add, there's really 3 types of evangelism in the New Testament. Let's just throw New Testament. You say that evangelism word, but there is mass evangelism, and that's where those guys like Wesley and Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards, Finney, and Moody, man, they spoke to masses. We have Jesus in the Sea of Galilee. Man, the crowds are so big. He said, give me a boat, fellas. I'm not going to try to get a smaller group. I want to get as much into this as we can. Peter on the day of Pentecost here in Acts 2. Paul, he talked to large groups in Acts 14. Acts 17 in Lystra and also in Athens spoke to large groups. There's another one, personal evangelism. Personal, that's that one-on-one. That's where sometimes our missionaries in some of the most difficult regions, better not give that message, your head's coming off. But they want to, by reason of relationships, when they see, as Jesus says, your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Sometimes that relationship of what's happening is so significant take place. Philip, the evangelist, remember he witnessed to the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, verse 26? Those purposeful times that we speak to people. I remember just dealing with so many one-on-one personal evangelists. Sometimes our relationships with our relatives are the most difficult. The story I have with my father. I remember working with my dad for 8 years. And my schedule was when I jumped into Bible college. That alone was a difficulty for my parents. You don't want the business. Oh, I'm sorry. And I continued then to go to Life Bible College in Echo Park at the time. So my schedule was in class at 7. Class let out at noon. At the time, I had this cute little girl draped over my arm, my girlfriend Ainsley. Kissed her goodbye. And then grabbed something to eat and went to work, Quality House, at 1 in the afternoon Oftentimes, if I did not have church because I was a volunteer youth pastor, I could say a lay minister just by reason of volunteering as a youth pastor at Azusa Four Square Church, that I would work then, if I did not have activities like that, I worked till 7, and my father, his name's Lee. We would often go out and grab a bite only to go back to work. Ugh. There were 3 occasions which I told my dad very clearly how to be saved and go to heaven. Now, a little background here. My dad was a devout man to Catholicism. He made sure his wife and his 4 children were always in Mass every Sunday. And sitting down with a quick bite on 3 occasions, "Dad, would you like to go to heaven?" "Yes, I would." "Do you know what God has done for you to go to heaven for free?" And he did not know. And I explained it very clearly to him. Upon which I said, "Dad, would you like to receive Jesus? Make sure that you're going to heaven." And 3 times he said, "No, I'm okay." Now, I'm not quite sure how that fit. Dealing with a lot of my relatives, they may have thought that, well, I don't want to give up Catholicism, become a Protestant. It takes a divine move of God to bring them. The frustration that I was having, wanting my dad that I loved dearly, working with him for 8 years, started to pray, "Lord, you know what it's going to take to bring my father to salvation." And then he contracted liver cancer. It was at that time, 6 months before he passed away, that my brother Bob that I told about, led me to the Lord, is now pastoring the San Dimas Four Square Church. Bob led my father to the Lord. I'm so grateful for that. You know, a beautiful thing with which the word says some plant, some water, and some get the harvest. And I tell you that story because it gets a little bit more in detail. I remember when Dad received the Lord, but he was very sick. And in November of 1983, we took him to our mother church of our movement called Angelus Temple. We had a healing evangelist there. Man, and there were some cool things happening down there on the platform. And my dad, on his own volition, got out of the seat in the balcony, struggled to get himself down there, and was the next in line for the evangelist to pray for him. And as he was stepping up, the evangelist said, "We have no more time. We're done." My dad didn't receive prayer. They ushered him actually back to his seat. Now, my dad passed away that January, just a couple months later. I remember just working through the struggles of that. Oh, man, Lord, I am one that's been told Jesus heals. I believe in healing. What happened? I remember all kinds of thoughts were going through my mind until the Lord gave me a breakthrough. And he said, "Paul, your father's a self-made man. And if I healed him, he would have gone back to his old ways of doing his thing." That was very healing for me. And I've often told people, man, as we do, let's contend for divine healing. Let's pray for the sick. Just because it looks as if we're going to pray for somebody and it appears that they did not receive their healing does not give me or you the license to not pray for the sick. God heals. There's reasons sometimes behind that. So that personal evangelism, so significant. And sometimes those stories in that personal way goes long and long and long into the future. The local church evangelism. That's the natural outreach of the local church, and that's what I think we do so well. Matter of fact, if you were to look at 1 Thessalonians, I like this. I think this really describes Hope Chapel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says this in verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 comes along and describes this: "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know, what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Verse 6 goes on a little bit further. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, and not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Can you see? I've underlined that. In every place, your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything about you. I'm so glad this church, talking about you, has a great reputation. Sure fun to go back and hear about that and say, man, I'm hearing good things about Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. Thank you. Thank you. And not just here in this location, those that we've sent off, those that we've released, both in an international setting and even in our local setting, some of those church plants. But that's where I like that local church evangelism, just being released and letting people go forth. Let's take a look at the second one. Not only is it a divine work, number two, it's a double work. Let's go back to chapter 2 of Acts, verse 47. It says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Can you take a look at this? A double work. God added to the church those who were being saved, but then something else too, because I like Acts chapter 5, verse 14. Check it out. We read it a little earlier. 5:14 says this, and believers were increasing, added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So we see that there were multitudes of people added to the Lord, then the Lord added to the church. That's powerful. So it's a double work. Man, God added to the church. People came to him. God says, I've got a place for you. It's the church. And I don't really understand people that don't quite find their way into a local church. Everybody needs a faith family. Everybody. The church is what Jesus started. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail. He named it. He's protecting it, and he's going to build it. So it's a double work. It's what God is doing. You're put into a family. You're added to the church daily. Let's take a look at number three. Number three says that when it comes right down to this, again, look at the word daily. And the Lord added to the church when? Daily, those who are being saved. Literally, it's day by day that God is adding to the church people. Is there ever enough people in the church? No. It really isn't. Matter of fact, if you would take just a moment here as we wind things down, in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, saw this morning. What a great reminder for me. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, it's the parable of the wedding feast, where Jesus said this, then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Can you see that? Go out. Go to the highways, those developed cities. Go to the hedges, places that may be looking a little rough, and compel people to come in. Why, Lord? I want my house full. Man, is heaven filled yet? No. Is there still opportunity? Yes. Why is there a delay? 1 Peter 3 says that God is not slack concerning the promise of his coming. He's just not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Man, that's a powerful thing. We want to take that opportunity as well. Say, Lord, we need you to just use us to get the message out. You know, stats were just declared a couple years ago that just a little over 50% of Christians said that in the last year they told anybody about Jesus and God's love for them. One out of two have done that. You know, real numbers would be this. If we took 12 saved persons, kind of like the 12 disciples, 12 apostles, and that those 12 individuals said, let's make an agreement, within 1 year we will tell somebody about Jesus and lead them to the Lord. 1:1. So at that next year, the second year, now there's 24 believers, and that they come into an agreement and they say, let's all see that we lead one person over the entire year to the Lord. Now that year passed, now you have 48. Reality of those numbers, that in less than 30 years of doing just that, everybody in the planet Earth would be saved, become a believer. So the importance for us getting the message out, just before we lead in singing this song together, and me allowing the opportunity to pray with and for you in Washington, since we were there. Washington Post gave a little bit of an article a while back, but it was about the Washington Monument, and it somehow they discovered 19th century graffiti in the lobby of the Washington Monument. Now, it was closed for repairs while we were there, but we have been in it and at the very top. But that graffiti said this once they peeled back the marble wainscoting. And it said this, scratched in, they think, by a knife. Somewhere in the year 1854 to 1880, that's the year that the Washington Monument stopped being constructed due to lack of funds. But here's what the graffiti said. Whoever is the human instrument under God, in the conversion of one soul, erects a monument to his own memory, more lofty and enduring than this. Pretty interesting. So when we take a look now, I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles. Would you stand to your feet while we sing this song? Let me pray with you when I come back.
Soon and very soon, my King is coming, robed in righteousness and crowned with love. When I see him, I shall be made like him. Soon and very soon. And soon and very soon, yes, I'll be going to the place he has prepared for me. And there my sin erased, my shame forgotten, soon and very soon. And I will be with the one I love, with unveiled face I'll see him. And there my soul will be satisfied, soon and very soon. Soon and very soon, see the procession, the angels and the elders around the throne. And at his feet I lay my crown's my worship, soon and very soon. And I will be with the one I love, with unveiled face I'll see him. There my soul will be satisfied, soon and very soon. Sing, though I have not seen him, and though I have not seen him, my heart knows him well. Jesus Christ the Lamb, the Lord of heaven, And I will be with the one I love, with unveiled face I'll see him. And there my soul will be satisfied, and soon and very soon, soon and very soon, and soon and very soon.
Well, friends, I want to just remind you of four simple steps, and then just pray with you, and I think it's a good and fresh reminder for us. Now let me just take you through four outstanding steps. They're really called the four spiritual laws. You can find them online. It's a wonderful reminder to just lead people to receive Jesus. Step number one, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. That message will speak anywhere you go. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That important element, how that in John and Romans as well, 5:8, for God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That second step, so necessary, that humanity is tainted with sin, therefore cannot know God, and will not experience that wonderful plan for their life. How that Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. State of California says you work so many hours, you're going to earn a wage of pay. That's man's law. God's law is much more sure. You live in sin and die in sin, you'll earn something as well. It's called death. Step number three is the fact that Jesus Christ is the only provision for our sin, and to know that plan of God's love and purpose for our life. How wonderful when we take a look at that, where it says the aspect where in 1 Corinthians 15:1-3, for this is the gospel that we received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and on the third day he rose. And how important is that, where Jesus comes along in John 14:6, where he says, I am the way, truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So we have step one, God loves you, has a plan for your life. Step two, man, sin, baby, it's not going to happen for any person. Until step three, knowing that Jesus is the provision to remove our sins and know God. And then step four, we must put our faith in Jesus in order to experience God and step into that wonderful, wonderful plan that he has for us. John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And finally, Ephesians 2:8, where it says, you are saved by grace through faith, and not of yourself. God's grace. Remember we sing the hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. But it's your faith. Your faith. Do you believe it or not? Saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Those four steps you can share. But I want to just highlight for you and for us together how much God loves you. And he really does have a wonderful plan for your life. He will put your life together. Let me invite you to close your eyes with me. Let me lead you in this prayer of confessing Christ and receiving him as Savior and Lord. May we all pray that together. And if that is something you're needing and desiring to give your life to the Lord or recommit your life, this is the time right now during this prayer. It goes like this, Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world, and I confess to you now that I have sinned against you and against others. And I ask you, dear Jesus, to forgive me, wash me clean, and right now, come into my life, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, for eternal life with you. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. With your eyes still closed, how many would just gently just raise your hand up high enough for me to see as a good overseer and say, you know what, Pastor Paul, I just prayed that prayer. Would you put that hand up and then bring it right down? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. You can put that hand down. Anyone else want to join these three hands? Thank you. Go ahead and put that down. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I trust the Lord is going to do amazing work in your life. Let me just even now just pray to just conclude a blessing for you who, those four hands and possibly others that may not have raised your hand or those who are watching online. Father, we want to thank you because of the important message that we have, not only given to us, but Lord, to distribute to others, and today you have. And Lord, for those who have acknowledged such, their need for a Savior in Jesus, Lord, we speak now your grace, blessing, protection over them, that, Lord, they will grow quickly, they will find life within the body of Christ, and that, Lord, may you use each and every one of us now, bring others to a saving knowledge of our great God and King. His name is Jesus. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Thank you.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.